Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into the program. Hope your day is starting off well. A little warmer, a little less breezy than it's been the last few mornings. It's about 40 degrees, so it's not the worst. But it's not quite what we're hoping for with spring weather yet. But it's going to be a little warmer today. Get around the 50s, so... Then if there is anything you want to do outside, get it done. Next couple of days, rain. So yesterday, if you missed out on the 8 o'clock hour, we were joined by Joe Pereira. He is the owner of Miss Lizzie's Coffee in Fall River, and he joined us to share his thoughts on this latest development in the ongoing saga with the Lizzie Borden house. And if you missed that interview, you can hear it on the podcast. You can also hear it in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, where Joe kind of went through some of the things that bothered him the most with the Herald News story and with the filing on Monday by the Lizzie Borden House lawyers. And one of the things that was brought up, and kind of one of the keys to the argument of the Lizzie Borden house, was that having two businesses next door to each other, capitalizing on the Lizzie Borden name, is creating confusion. And they pointed to as an interview was happening, As we are in the throes of it, I might not always pick up on everything that someone says or understand exactly what they mean. But then when I go back and I transcribe it, something hits my ear and I'm like, oh. And that happened to me yesterday as I was transcribing my conversation with Joe to write the article. And I know that he said that he planned on, you know, having everybody that submitted a statement testify in a potential trial, but I didn't realize exactly what he was saying until I listened back and kind of heard between the lines. So basically what he was saying, and I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but this is my analysis of it, is when he said everybody that gave an affidavit, gave a statement, he planned on having them go on the stand under penalty of perjury. It's like, oh, wait a minute. So he's actually implying that these are not true, that these people made them up, these affidavits, these sworn statements that they gave, and that he wants them on the stand to recount the same thing that are in those affidavits under penalty of perjury. Which means he may also feel like he's got some proof that they're making it up. Now, I don't know that for sure. I'm just inferring that from what he was saying, but I think that's a very interesting development. So that was kind of the key to the argument, is that it's creating confusion. And I was thinking about what would be a similar scenario that could happen somewhere else. If you look at Salem, you could have a business that's called, you know, Witch City Metaphysical Shop, right next to a place that's called Witch City Tattoos, and nobody would say, well, these two places must be owned by the same people. They would just say it's two places capitalizing on the legend of Salem, utilizing that as part of their name. If you went to Sleepy Hollow, New York, and you had the Headless Horseman Bar and Grill right next to the Headless Horseman Bookstore, nobody would think, oh, these must be related. They must be owned by the same people. Wow, that's so weird. Somebody that owns a bar and grill also owns a bookstore. They would just think these are two different businesses utilizing the legend of the Headless Horseman, which is what Sleepy Hollow is known for. And if either of those places had a copyright, a trademark, a sales mark to use Headless Horseman Bar and Grill or Headless Horseman Bookstore, it wouldn't preclude somebody else from opening up a third location down the street from both of them using the Headless Horseman name. So, but that was also part of the discussion. And then another part of the complaint that was filed, or the general argument that the Lizzie Borden House has been making, is that a Fall River city official was even confused by what happened. They were confused that the coffee shop was owned by the same owners as the Lizzie Borden House. And so I reached out to Fall River Inspectional Services just to verify the information that was in the Herald News' article. Not that the Herald News was not being truthful or that I was questioning their reporting. They were just reporting what was said in the filing. But Joe Pereira told us yesterday he had his business license on on June 1st of last year. And the Lizzie Borden House claim is that they were asked on June 27th if they were related. So my question was, did someone contact the Lizzie Borden House on June 27th, and why didn't they know that it wasn't them that owned it if the paperwork had been filed 26 days earlier? And I just thought I would get like a simple, you know, one or two sentence response from Inspectional Services, but instead I got a pretty lengthy response. And let me just, I want to make sure I bring up the name of the person, because I can't remember her first name off the top of my head. Brenda. Brenda Beaudry, who is the project specialist for Inspectional Services in the city of Fall River, said the comment in the Herald News is only partially true. And she explained to me that what happened was the inspectors and a lot of the folks who work at City Hall drive by the Lizzie Borden House on a daily basis, because City Hall's right down the street, or technically, I guess, Fall River Government Center. And so one of these inspectors saw the brown paper over the windows and Miss Lizzie's coffee coming soon, and stopped, because when they see a new business coming, they just like to stop in and say, you know, make sure you get all your permits. Is there anything that we can help you with in that process, kind of thing, just to check in on them. And this inspector stopped and looked. There was no information on the window about who was the owner or the operator. So the inspector called the Lizzie Borden House to see if they were the people that were behind it. And in the way that it was categorized in the filing, as reported by the Herald News. U.S. Ghost Adventures Director of Operations Joseph Kruger, quote, testified that someone from Fall River's Inspectional Services Department contacted him on June 27, 2023, and that, quote, Kruger said the inspector he spoke to demanded to know what business the Lizzie Borden House was attempting to open next door. The inspector reportedly said, quote, the Lizzie Borden House can't open up Miss Lizzie's without informing us of all these details, and that the inspector had to be informed that the businesses are not related. Well, Brenda Beaudry of the Inspectional Services Department said the inspector in no way, shape, or form demanded that he be provided with information. He was just seeking out some answers. So is that semantics or is that important? Because the confusion of somebody walking up to the Lizzie Borden House and saying, hey, do you guys also own the coffee shop next door? And them saying, no, 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 it's not us, is a lot different than someone showing up or calling you and demanding information and accusing you of not going through the proper channels. And, you know, the way that it was portrayed sounded a lot more negative than what the person from Inspectional Services is saying was the actual truth of the matter. So it's being mischaracterized according to the way that she told us that it happened, in a way that fits U.S. Ghost Adventures argument. So does it matter? I think it does, because now you have to say, well, what exactly are people saying in these statements of the Lizzie Borden House? Are they really angry and confused, or are they just asking? Because just asking is something that happens to businesses all the time. I mean, South Coast is a pretty common name in a lot of businesses around here. But if you have, you know, South Coast Plumbing, and then you also have South Coast Electricians, and somebody says to one of the plumbers, hey, are you also the people that own South Coast Electricians? And you say, no, no, that's not us, that's somebody else. That's not really creating confusion in the marketplace. That's just an inference somebody's asking about. And so that's where I think it's important what the Inspectional Services Department had to say about this. And basically what happened was, the reason why there was no permits brought to the building department, to the Inspectional Services, was because Miss Lizzie's Coffee did not make any structural changes. Now, I don't think Joe will mind me saying this. I think he's talked about this publicly before. He's got some plans for things that he wants to do in the future. But in order to open the coffee shop, he just opened the doors and didn't actually change the structure of the building at all. He did get the proper licensing and inspections from the health department. But the problem is the health department computers don't speak with the computers from the building department. So it's not like the building department could look up that information and know who had applied for the permits. But that's what the inspector did, is he contacted the health department. They said, yep, we've already talked to this guy. He's all set. Business license. Everything's fine. No worries. They didn't need to contact you. They're not changing anything. And everybody moved on. And that just doesn't sound like confusion. And it doesn't sound like it's a detriment to the Lizzie Borden House business to me. So anyway, I just wanted to give you that information because that came about. And we have articles on both of those things at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But I thought that was an important part of the discussion to add. And we can talk more about that. I can tell you already, because, you know, other news outlets are picking up on this story. Of course, all the Providence media, they love reporting on anything Lizzie Borden related. So this story is, you know, picking up steam, and the comments under our stories and under other outlets' versions of the story are the same as they were back in September, which are basically saying we support the coffee shop. The Lizzie Borden house is being ridiculous in this situation. So I guess it's worth it to U.S. Ghost Adventures to have this blowback from the public if they feel that they are right. And I was having this conversation with somebody off air yesterday. I don't think that they care about that, because it's not you and I and the common person that lives around here that is making up the visitorship of the Lizzie Borden house. They're looking for people that are coming from other places. The people that live in this area are probably Lizzie Bordened out. And so they're bringing in people from all over the country and all over the world. So if the locals get upset, I don't think that they really care. But in my experience, and I'm speaking of somebody who, you know, was going to that place for almost 20 years, it's the locals that help you through the lean times. The locals that come back and take the tour again and again and again, even though they've already had it. The locals who go back and look for ghosts again and again and again, even though they've already been there. The locals who will stay there, not in August when everybody's trying to get into the house, but in early March when they just want to have a night out, a night away. Cross off a bucket list item. So, I don't know. Different approaches, different mindsets about it, I guess. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in today. We will be discussing a number of things this morning. Also want to make you aware of a couple of things. One is a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, I will be out on the road broadcasting the show live from Country Whip in Acushnet. So if you've read my story the other day, which is still up at WBSM.com and on the app. Not only do they have the new Funky Fries option with things like, well, you can get an ice cream sundae, a hot fudge sundae on top of French fries. That's just one of the many new options. But they've also begun to offer coffee, cappuccino, espresso, baked goods, pastries, beginning at 7 a.m. in the morning. You know, beginning at 7 in the morning, 7 a.m. It's a redundancy, Tim. 7 a.m. is in the morning. But they've begun offering that. And so next week, we will be there broadcasting live. So if you wanted to stop in and get your coffee, your cappuccino, your espresso, or a muffin or a pastry or whatever, we will be there. And we will also have a special Seize the Deal that day as well, as we do with all of these live shows. So it's been a little while since I've been out on the road. Basically, I was not medically cleared to bring the equipment and carry the equipment that I need to utilize for this. But now I've got the all clear. So back out on the road, and hopefully we'll get around to doing a lot more of these as the weather gets nicer and you can come out and hang out with me. And just like you can call into the show, I always bring an extra microphone, so you can always come up and, you know, sit down and share your thoughts. So it's a lot of fun. I like being out there. I like meeting people, and I like bringing you those great Seize the Deals, which also leads me to a couple of other things. One, later on today, we are going to have a Seize the Deal going on sale at 9 a.m. for Jersey Mike's subs. We are going to have the opportunity to get two regular size subs from Jersey Mike's for just $10. And that's actually a little bit better than even just a buy one, get one free. Because normally a regular sub is a little over $10 for just one. We're giving you two regular size subs from Jersey Mike's for just $10. And that goes on sale this morning at 9 a.m. at seizethedeal.com. But today is a very special day for Jersey Mike's. Because today, and by the way, this is applicable in the North Dartmouth, Fairhaven, and Middletown, Rhode Island locations. But the 27th of March is a very special day for Jersey Mike's. Today is their day of giving. So 100% of all proceeds today in your local Jersey Mike's, wherever you may be, 100% of the proceeds today go to local charities. It's their biggest day of the year for, and they give back a lot throughout the course of the year, but this is the biggest day of the year that they do this. So everything you spend in Jersey Mike's today will be going to local charities. So yeah, you're going to go on seizeadeal.com at 9 a.m. and get this great deal for yourself. It's going to take a couple of days for it to come to you in the mail. Don't let that stop you from going to Jersey Mike's today, getting yourself a sandwich and helping local charities at the same time. Not only do they have great sandwiches, but they do great things in the community. So I wanted to make sure that you're aware of that. Also, since you're going to be going over to seizethedeal.com anyway. Now, these Seize the Deals have limits on them. You can only buy, you know, up to two of each deal, but you can buy as many deals as you want when you go there. And I'm going to tell you about something coming up that you are going to want to buy a ton of deals, because we are having a major Seize the Deal sale. But I'll tell you about that coming up. Right now, though, I've got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. And I will be telling you about that huge Seize the Deal sale happening right after we go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
The search resumes for six people presumed dead in Baltimore's bridge collapse. The Supreme Court hears arguments on an abortion pill. And Robert Kraft, not a fan of a new Patriots documentary.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Divers will continue to search for the six people presumed dead this morning after a cargo ship hit a major Maryland bridge. The search for the missing bridge workers was suspended Tuesday night because of diminished visibility and treacherous currents in the busy Baltimore harbor. The workers were thrown into the water early Tuesday when a loaded cargo ship plowed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse. Oral arguments were presented to the Supreme Court on a case that could limit access to the abortion pill mifepristone. Justices are reviewing an appeals court decision blocking recent FDA changes that made the medication more widely available. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar argued on behalf of the Biden administration, claiming the ruling would inflict grave harm on women across the nation. Pro-Palestinian protesters interrupted President Biden's remarks on health care in North Carolina Tuesday. During an event in Raleigh, protesters shouted, quote, "What about health care in Gaza? And hospitals in Gaza are being bombed." Biden responded to the crowd, saying the protesters have a point and a lot more care needs to get into Gaza. A Democrat is flipping a red statehouse district in Alabama. Marilyn Lands won a special election on Tuesday over Republican Teddy Powell after her campaign focused on IVF and abortion rights. There's finally a winner in the Mega Millions lottery. A winning ticket sold in New Jersey matched all six numbers in Tuesday night's drawing worth over $1.1 billion. Lottery players are now turning their attention to the Powerball jackpot, which will be worth an estimated $865 million in tonight's drawing. And the owner of the Patriots not too happy with a recent documentary about his team. Robert Kraft said at the annual league meeting on Tuesday that he's, quote, disappointed at the portrayal of New England's championship teams in a recent documentary. Kraft mentioned the team's early Super Bowl victories and 21-game winning streak as moments he hoped the doc would spend more time on rather than putting so much emphasis on negative controversies over the last 20 years.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Bruins beat the Florida Panthers last night 4-3. They play the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight at 7:30. And then on Thursday, the Celtics will play the Atlanta Hawks and Red Sox out of spring training and off to Seattle to play the Mariners for opening day.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
An overcast Wednesday ahead for us today. Maybe some patchy fog and drizzle as we head out this morning, getting up to 55 degrees. Tonight, a low of 47 degrees. More rain in the schedule for Thursday, getting up to a high of 52. Rain into Friday morning and more clouds. Sun finally showing itself in time for the weekend on Saturday. And looking like a bright but breezy Easter Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Sparks Auto Dartmouth, home of the $29 oil change. Your choice for auto repairs, brakes, and inspection stickers. Sparks Auto, 425 State Road, Dartmouth. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Why don't you use it when it comes to SeizeTheDeal.com if you haven't been going there and getting some of these fantastic deals? But we are, not only are we having that special Jersey Mike Seize the Deal going on sale at 9 a.m. to help support their day of giving today. Stop in and buy a sandwich or two or three because all the proceeds go to help local charities. But we're also launching, beginning today and through Sunday, a huge sale at SeizeTheDeal.com. We have a number of deals that are going to be discounted 70% off the retail value. We are talking $50 gift certificates that are going to be on sale for $15. So you're going to pay $15 to get a certificate that's going to allow you to go into a restaurant and get $50 worth of food. So what are some of these deals? Well, $50 in gift certificates to Canned Heat Craft Beer, to Common Pub and Grill, to Dough Company, to Fat Cousins, to La Fruta Loca, to Lolly's Cafe, to Mi Antojo Mexican Restaurant, to Poncheros Mexican Grill, to The Vault Music Hall and Pub, to Yas Chicken, and to Yozakura Sushi. $15. We'll get you $50 to all of those great places. Now, each one's an individual deal. It's not one certificate they can use at any one of those. So you have to go to SeizeTheDeal.com and pick out the ones that you want to get. But between today and Sunday, those deals are all going to be $50 for just $15. And then there's also, the Poncheros one is $20, 70% off. I can't do the math. $14 off, so $6. That sounds right. So you can get $20 to Poncheros Mexican Grill for $6. I suppose I could just look at SeizeTheDeal.com. It's probably on there. But what a deal. What a deal to seize at SeizeTheDeal.com. You know what? I'm looking at the page right now. I could have just looked at it. $20 to Poncheros for $6. Yes. But all the other ones, the $50 ones, $15. So how about, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. Even Father's Day is coming up. Some of these deals are still good for a couple of months. Maybe you want to give somebody something as a little Easter treat. Check out seizethedeal.com and take advantage of the sale now through Sunday. Man, I hope I can get in there and get some of those deals myself before they're all gone. 508-996-0500. That is my number to call in and chime in. There's a story that I wanted to bring up this morning that I found to be a little disturbing as I was, you know, reading different stories and getting ready to talk with you here on the radio this morning. This comes from WCVB. I like to go to their website because they have a lot of stuff that gets updated overnight. But there's a story about a Massachusetts special education teacher. She works in Bridgewater at the Mitchell Elementary School, but she lives in Taunton. Her name is Catherine Russo, and she's a special education teacher, and she's accused of physically abusing three pre-K students who were in her care. On March 14th, a parent of a four-year-old pre-K student at Mitchell Elementary School went to the Bridgewater Police Department after a school staffer informed them they had filed a report of a suspected abuse or neglect against Russo with DCF. Apparently, from what the school staffer said, Russo grabbed the student's mouth with her hand, leaving a mark or a cut on the child's lip. Also, she's alleged to have grabbed a second student by the mouth and force-fed another student, which caused that student to vomit. Now, Russo, who has been a teacher for 18 years, was placed on administrative leave by the school as the investigation into this is ongoing. But just a disturbing story. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, my friend.
How's it going?
Boy, what a tragedy down there in Baltimore, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I
drove over that bridge.
Sorry. Wait, when you drove over it recently or?
Back in January when my team, we went to Florida.
Yeah, when you were driving down, yeah.
Pick up down in that area. And the eight of us in a van and all that. Have you seen the video of the actual incident?
Yeah, with the power going out on the ship and then it crashing into the post there.
And then they restarted. Something I found instantly interesting, and I went back and watched it two or three times so they got across the YouTube feed. The domino effect that basically went three pilings over, it was almost like it was a domino effect, and you would think something that structurally big with all them partitions would have some form of separation. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And I guess 4 o'clock this morning, the Coast Guard called off search, and now it's a recovery.
For
missing workers.
I've seen a lot of videos floating around where people looked at, you know, the people who are actual, you know, structural engineers were putting up videos saying, you know, we need to build things in a way, and they have, like, you know, this. There's been changes to the way bridges have been built since this one was built, but there's a need to have more, like you're saying, compartmentalized individual supports so that, you know, one doesn't have the same effect of taking down the entire bridge. So if something like this happens again, at least, you know, it's still going to be a disaster no matter what, but it can be more localized to where the crash happens as opposed to affecting the entire bridge.
And like the what I would call the last one that actually falls, if you look at that part of it, it actually goes up and then comes down. So it's almost like everything was pushing one way, and then the very end one went the exact opposite way. They're like, wow. And so now Budapest Department of Transportation is stating that they've already rerouted almost 40 vessels that were heading toward Baltimore, and it shouldn't affect overall goods up and down the corridor. And yet, the local representative said, absolutely, it's going to happen instantaneously.
Yeah.
So, besides goods, I expect the price of gas to go up pretty quickly, too.
It'll slow things down, but for that area, it's definitely going to have a devastating effect because they were so reliant on that waterway. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people that are putting out, you know, conspiracy theories and jokes about it and all that. It's like, come on, this is a tragic situation here. Like, we need to get all the information first and really, you know, just kind of sit back and wait. I know it's horrible to have to wait for information to come out, especially because sometimes these reports take weeks to compile, but you've got to do things responsibly.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, and like you said, they got to get that piece off of the vessel, get the vessel away from there, probably back up to that same terminal where it left, and inspect it. Oh, it's going to be, what a tragedy. And over 150,000 jobs in that region are affected by that bridge being out.
Yeah, I believe
it. And the impact could be impacted within 2 weeks.
I believe it. Well, thank you for the call, and hopefully they can recover as quickly as possible from it.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Take care. Let's get another one in here before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
Doing all right. On my way into work, listening to the show, talking about the bridge down in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading up yesterday on bridges here in Mass, and she said, similar bridges is the Tobin and the Braga in Fall River, Somerset. Now, the one that most resembles the Baltimore Bridge.
You're cutting out on us a little bit there. I think we lost you.
If one piece falls down, the whole thing will come down.
I'm sorry. Now, Tobin, we lost you a little bit there. I'm sorry, we lost you. Which bridge were you discussing?
The Braga Bridge, right?
Okay.
It's pretty similar to the bridge in Baltimore, whereas if one side was to come down, the whole thing would come down. It's just the design of the bridge. Now, we don't have to worry about freighters coming in underneath the Braga because it's not a port like that, and I don't think it's even set up for that kind of shipping. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the bridge up in the Tobin, up in Boston. Now, it's set up, the suspension bridge there. It's set up if one side fails, the other side will stay up, unlike the Braga Bridge. So if people are worried about the bridges, like I said, it's Braga is the one that's built similarly like the one in Baltimore. Just, you know, be careful driving out there, you know, keep an eye open. And I'll keep listening. Hey, you have a good one.
All right, thanks. You as well. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as the caller pointed out, you're not getting vessels the same size. So even if something was to hit the post, I don't think they're worried that it would be able to do that kind of damage. But also, I mean, think about how long that bridge has been up. Think about how long some of these other bridges have been up. That, you know, a situation like this hasn't happened. I mean, this was a confluence of events that was a very rare occurrence. More concerning is less about the way that the bridges are designed structurally and instead how they are maintained. Barry had an article just last week, or maybe earlier this week. I forget what day it ran. But he had an article about, you know, could Massachusetts bridges be in the same situation as the Washington Bridge in Rhode Island? Imagine what would happen if something was to take out one of our major bridges in Massachusetts. You know, anything. So you look at the Cape Cod bridges and you say, well, if one bridge was to have an issue, there's still the other bridge. But try putting that into practice and seeing what a disaster that is. Or if something was to happen to the Tobin. You know, what if something happened to the Braga Bridge and everybody's using the Veterans Memorial Bridge? Just because you can still get across doesn't mean that it's not going to be a major, major problem. 508-996-0500. Going to take a quick break and be back in a few moments. And so I got an app chat message from Jeff in Fall River, which is relating back to when we were talking about the Lizzie Borden story, where the inspector stopped in to the Lizzie Borden house, thinking that they were the ones responsible for Miss Lizzie's coffee. And as I was explaining, the Inspectional Services Department representative told me that they didn't need to contact the building inspector because there weren't any structural changes. Jeff says, good morning, Tim. Building inspectors always need to know what is going on. If you relocate an electrical outlet or simply install cameras, they need a permit. Inspectors need to know the building is handicapped, accessible, and up to code. I should have been a little bit more specific there, Jeff. At the time of when they stopped in, they didn't need to have anything put in because they weren't making any changes to the building itself. So everything that, and I didn't put it in the story, I was going to originally because I thought that it was important, but then I kept it out because it had some information from the previous owners. But they sent me the screenshot of the last time that permits had been applied for and changes had been made. So all of the things that, you know, you're talking about had been done in 2019. So they had permit on record for that all having been done. So it was, everything was up to code. Everything was fine. They were just going in there and taking it over. So they didn't need to have anything inspected. They would obviously when they made any changes, but they were just kind of coming in turnkey and taking over the space that had been there and just making it a coffee shop, which only required them getting the health department inspections. So now when they do go and they make more changes, which they will be doing to the actual physical structure, because Joe owns the whole building, so he wants to use the part of it that's currently closed down. As they were doing things in there, then they will be getting the building department involved. But I should have mentioned that all of that stuff was on record of having been done in 2019. And she even sent me, Brenda Beaudry even sent me all the paperwork for that, or the screenshot of all the information for that. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take one more break before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. All right, that is...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.